हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनाववतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ शं नो मित्रः शं वरुणः, शं नो भवत्वर्यमा, शं न इन्द्रो बृहस्पतिः, शं नो विष्णुरुरुक्रमः। नमो ब्रह्मणे नमस्ते वायो, त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि, त्वामेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्म वदिष्यामि, ऋतं वदिष्यामि, सत्यं वदिष्यामि। तन्मामवतु, तद्वक्तारमवतु, अवतु माम्, अवतु वक्तारम्। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ यस्माज्जातं जगत्सर्वं, यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते, येनेदं धार्यते चैव, तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः। यैरिमे गुरुभिः पूर्वं पदवाक्यप्रमाणतः व्याख्याता सर्ववेदान्तास्ता नित्यं प्रणतोऽस्म्यहम्। सीइंग दिस संबंध भाष्यम् ऑफ आदि शंकराचार्य ऑन दिस तैत्तिरीय उपनिषद, वेर पूर्व पक्षी we saw in the class, yesterday's class, had this view that mokshaha is attaining heaven, going to heaven, attaining heaven, enjoying nirtishaya pritihi, incomparable happiness there, is attainment of mokshaha. That moksha is attainable a result of performing rituals. Therefore, only a result of karma bhyayava mokshaha. And he said that, even then what he meant was, jnanam is not required for moksha. But Shankaracharya just said, no, mokshaha nitya swarupaha. Moksha is timeless, everlasting. And karma phalam has a beginning. Therefore, moksha cannot be a result of an action. He refuted that very simply, very easily. It was then, he himself said, it is not mere performance of rituals. The result, a unique, very special result, earned as a result of performing ritual, combining it with practice of meditation, vidyasahitanam karmanam, then moksha can be attained, and that moksha will be permanent. That was his argument. That was also refuted by Shankaracharya saying, no, because there's a contradiction in the very statement. Nityam arabhyate. Nityam eternal is begun. The two words in a sentence are contradictory words. Eternal cannot have a beginning. And anything begun cannot be eternal. This is the very statement is contradictory. That's wrong. Eternity and beginning are opposed to each other. Therefore, he said it was wrong. It was negated. It was then Purupakshi came with this idea, this following the idea of a logician, Tarkikaha. He used logician's view of Abhavaha. What is Abhavaha? Non-existence. And what is the view of logician, Tarkikasya Abhava Vishaye? Ka Drishtihi. What is the view of logician of abhavaha, non-existence? ఫార్ హిమ్ ఫర్ తార్కిక తర్కశాస్త్రజ్ఞ అభావ నాన్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ ఇస్ అన్ ఎంటిటీ అండ్ విచ్ ఈస్ అ ఫోర్ టైప్స్ సో ప్రాగ్ అభావ ది అభావ ద నాన్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ ద బిగినింగ్లెస్ నాన్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ which is before the origination of a given object, there is a pragabhavaha. And pradhamsabhavaha, the non-existence of something which begins after the destruction of the object and which will be there forever. So endlessly existing, beginning, endlessly existing, non-existence with the beginning after the destruction of an object is pradhamsa bhavaha. So beginninglessly existing non-existence of an object before its creation, which will come to an end. And then we saw other two abhavas also, atyanta bhavaha, anyonya bhavaha, which we don't need to really pay attention to that. Now, he holding on to this pradhamsabhavaha. Pradhamsabhavaha has beginning, but still it will not end. It will continue to be there. Similarly, this moksha also, even though there's a general rule, anything which has a beginning should have an end. It cannot be endless. It cannot be eternal. Still, some exception rule must be there, like how this non-existence after the destruction of an object has a beginning, but still it will be there permanently. Similarly, mokshaha attained as a result of, a unique result of performing ritual, combining it with the performance of practice of meditation, that result can produce moksha, and that moksha attained as a result of the vidya karma samuchchayaha, combination of meditation and ritual, will have a beginning but will last forever. That was his view. And then Shankaracharya, first he said, as I said, abhyupetya vadaha. Accepting the non-acceptable thing, he politely said, look at this. Mokshaha is something which has existence. But mokshaha, freedom, is of the nature of existence, because mokshaha is existence. And here, this mokshaha, having beginning and remaining endless, is not comparable to the non-existence which has a beginning and which will be there endless. This pardhamsa bhavaha. First he, mokshasya bhava rupatvat na, first he said no, he refuted that view. Thereafter, he was going to explain. What was the explanation? First of all, there is no such a thing called non-existence, absolutely. If at all there is non-existence, no, there is relatively non-existence, is there relatively, not absolutely. That relatively remaining non-existence also does not have a beginning. Cannot have a beginning. First he says, pradhamsa bhavahapi arabhyate iti na sambhavati. First of all, be clear, a non-existence cannot have a beginning, because beginning, birth, origination, etc. are changes happening on the part of something which is existent. Beginning of something which is existent, origination of something which is existent, birth of something which is existent is possible. But non-existent thing cannot have a beginning. So, non-existence cannot have a beginning. Reason he was giving. Why? Because அபாவசிய விசேஷ அபாவாத், வெரி இம்பார்ட்டன்ட் திங். அபாவகா ஹாஸ் நோ ஆட்ரிபியூட்ஸ். விசேஷக மீன்ஸ் ஆட்ரிபியூட். அபாவகா ஹாஸ் நோ ஆட்ரிபியூட்ஸ். அபாவகா இஸ் ஆட்ரிபியூட்லெஸ். திஸ் அபாவகா ஃபர்ஸ்ட் ஆஃப் ஆல் இஸ் ரிலேட்டிவ், நாட் அப்சல்யூட். அண்ட் திஸ் ரிலேட்டிவ் அபாவகா ஆல்சோ டஸ் நாட் ஹாவ் ஆட்ரிபியூட்ஸ். நான் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ஸ் ஹாஸ் நோ ஆட்ரிபியூட்ஸ். And what does this Purupakshi do? He presents adjectives. Pradhamsa abhavaha, prag abhavaha, anyonya abhavaha, atyanta abhavaha. Means all these prag, pradhamsa, atyanta, anyonya, etc. are adjectives. Viseshas of non-existence. Who it is only... Non-existence cannot, non-existent thing or non-existence cannot have attributes. If at all he presents these attributes, it is purely his conceptual view. It is purely his confusion. It's purely his mere imagination. Really, in fact, factually, non-existence cannot have attributes. He said, abhavasya visesha abhavate kalpana kalpa vikalpamatram. Vikalpamatram. Vikalpa means what? It is sheer delusion. It is sheer confusion. It is sheer imagination. It is not really there. It was refuted. Then he explained further. Shankaracharya further explains. Today we have to see that. Bhava pratyogi abhavaha. Abhavaha, non-existence, is opposite of existence. We all know this. Existence into non-existence. Non-existence is opposite of existence. Then, he is first explaining existence. Let us understand the positive factor. What is this? Existence, bhavaha. What is this bhavaha, existence? Existence is the very nature of the abstract reality, absolute reality. Being existent is the nature of reality, so swarupam. So existence, what is existence? Existence is the swarupam, nature of the reality. And that reality is actually of the nature of consciousness. So reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, is of the nature of existence. That existence is ekam, one. We don't have many existences. Existence is one because consciousness is one. And the consciousness, which is consciousness, which is of, or you can say pure knowledge, which is of the nature of existence, is also what? Definitely one. So existence is one. And sarvagatam is all pervasive. Because it's abstract, subtlest reality. Existence is of the, is the nature of the abstract reality, their subtlest reality, therefore it is of the nature of all pervasiveness, ekam. And then it's also beginningless. Existence has no beginning, no end, no change. It is nityaha. So bhavaha nityaha, bhavaha ekaha, bhavaha sarvagataha, and bhavaha swatantraha. Existence has no dependence upon anything. What's existence? Therefore, swatantraha. Existence is independent also. So, ekaha, nityaha, swatantraha, sarvagataha, this bhavaha, existence. Also, nirgunaha, attributeless. No attribute. Attribute. Okay, what is an attribute? Attribute, we can say, in any language also, an attribute is something which describes an object. So in English, we use, any language, we use adjectives, which are attributes, which are descriptive of a given object. When do we use these attributes? I mean, when do we use adjectives? Adjectives are used only to distinguish a given object from a group of objects of same class, to distinguish a given being from a group of beings of same species. If there's a group of, that is, so suppose there's a herd of cows grazing, the house owner can tell his servant, Shvetam Dhenum Anaya, Shvetam Dhenum Anaya, bring that white cow. There's so many cows are grazing, but he wants the white cow to be brought home for some treatment. So Shvetam Dhenum Anaya, the Shveta Dhenuhu, white color, the cow, the adjective is used only to distinguish one cow from the herd of many cows. Like that. No, Shveta Rakta Pushpena Pujaya, Rakta Pushpam Pujartham Naya. There's so many colorful flowers. Take only the red flower for puja. What does it mean? So always adjectives are used only to distinguish a given object from a group of things of same class, to distinguish a given being, a given creature from a group of, a bunch of its own same species. But here, it is therefore, existence is one. We don't have many existences. It need not be distinguished from the group. Therefore, we do not have words describing existence. It cannot be distinguished from, because only one. Existence itself is nirgunaha, at nirviseshaha nirgunaha, nirviseshaha nirgunaha, attributeless. Understanding now existence. So existence is attributeless because it does not serve the purpose. Attributes can serve the purpose only to distinguish a thing from its group. But here, this happens to be one. Existence happens to be one. It need not be distinguished, cannot be distinguished. Therefore, it is nirgunaha, attributeless also. If at all we have some other words like nityaha, sthanuhu, etc., those words are not adjectives which distinguish it from the rest of the existence. Objects, because it's one. They're all words which reveal the swarupam of the Atma. Okay? Some words are used to describe the Atma. They are not actually the adjectives used to distinguish it, but they are words revealing the nature. To distinguish it from, they're also used to distinguish the Atma from things which are not of that nature. Okay, anyway, so here what we say, bhavaha, existence has no attributes. Such existence also, what happens with existence is, even though it has no attributes, it is said to be having attributes. It is projected to be having attributes. How? All the objects, all objects, living and non-living things, enjoy existence in this reality. So all those objects are mentioned as though having existence as their adjectives. Look at this. Example is given. Bhavaha ekaha nirgunaha. this existence is one and attributeless. It is abhinnaha. It is indivisible. Indivisible, undivided. Existence is one, indivisible, undivided, partless. But still, it is mistaken to be having divisions as though it is divided. How? When you say, existence of the pot is said to be what? Pot existence. Existence of the pot is a pot existence. Existence of the cloth, patasya sapta, we have got now, patabhavaha, patabhavaha, ghatabhavaha, grihabhavaha, vrikshabhavaha. When you say, we can say pot existence, cloth existence, house existence, tree existence. When you say, in all these words, ghatabhavaha, patabhavaha, vrikshabhavaha, etc., the bhavaha existence is mentioned as though it is an adjective. As though its existence having attributes. Ghatabhavaha, patabhavaha means as though the nirvisheshaha bhavaha, attributeless existence, is presented as though it has attributes. By way of saying the attributeless existence to be having attributes, the indivisible, undivided existence also becomes divided as it were. Really, it is not divided, divisible. We are making many divisions also. How pot existence is different from cloth existence, and a cloth is different from tree existence. This is how we, then one indivisible, potless, undivided existence becomes as though divided, and is used as though it has adjective, it has attributes. Ghataha becomes attribute, pataha becomes attribute, ghatabhavaha, patabhavaha. We're saying pot existence, clay existence, tree existence. When we say this attributeless existence is presented as though having attributes, by way of saying as though it has attributes, it also becomes as though divided. Undivided, indivisible becomes as though divided. So she saying now, yatha hi abhinnaha api bhavaha. Abhinnaha api bhavaha. Though this existence is undivided, indivisible, ghatapatadibhihi viseshyate. Ghatapatadibhihi viseshyate. It is given attributes. It's given attributes. Nirvisheshaha bhavaha is viseshyate, is attributed, is given attributes. Like ghatapatadibhihi viseshyate. Bhinnaha iva, as though it is divided. Like what? Ghatabhavaha, patabhavaha iti. When you say ghatabhavaha, what happens? Ghataha becomes an attribute for existence. Patabhavaha, cloth existence. When you say cloth becomes adjective, cloth becomes an attribute of existence. But does existence have attribute? No. Still we use it. Such expressions are used for the purpose of transaction in this world. For mere transaction alone, such expressions are used. Patabhavaha, ghatabhavaha. Really speaking, if we analyze thoroughly, existence has no attributes. And I use his attributes also. What happens? Indivisible one existence becomes divided into many, as it were. Not really divided, as though divided. So, bhinnaha iva, ghatabhavaha, patabhavaha iti bhavati. Similarly, evam, in exactly in the same way, in this manner, nirviseshaha api abhavaha. This non-existence also, it is relative. Again, it is attributeless. Abhavaha nirviseshaha api. Though it has no viseshas, no attributes, still kriya guna yogate. Kriya means action. Gunaha attribute. Yogaha addition. By adding or by connecting, by associating the non-existence with a given action or with given attribute, by associating, connecting non-existence with a given action or given attribute, dravyadivat vikalpyate, it is imagined to be, imagined to be a substance. Dravyadivat, as though it is really existent. Understand? Dravyadivat vikalpyate, it is imagined to be a substance. So how kriya gunaha, how kriya guna yogaha means what? Non-existence is associated with some action. Suppose pot originates, a pot is made. So the act of making the pot, or act of being born, and act of being destroyed. The tree has been destroyed. No? So the non-existence of the tree begins. When the tree is destroyed, the non-existence of the tree begins. The pot is destroyed, non-existence of the pot begins. That is his argument, Purupakshi's argument, based on Tarkika's view. Non-existence begins when after the destruction of an object. So non-existence is associated with the act of being destroyed. Therefore what? When this is associated with an action, with the act of being destroyed, we say what? Non-existence has a beginning. And it continues to be there forever. The same tree does not come back. Similarly, pragabhavaha. So before the birth of a child, the body, birth of a body, body was not there. So non-existence of the body has no beginning. So pragabhavaha, and is associated with this non-existence before the birth of the body, is associated with the act of being born. So whether it is pragabhavaha or pradhamsabhavaha, this abhavaha non-existence actually is relative one. It is also, and is, it has no attributes. Even though non-existence cannot have attributes, because attributes are possible of only of something existent. Non-existence cannot have attributes. Non-existence is, but still, it is associated with the given action or attribute, thereby the attributeless non-existence is imagined to be having attributes. Thereby, it is imagined to be divided also into four, as there are four non-existences. This is purely vikalpyate. It is in one's imagination. It's one's mind and thinking. It is not there factually. Nahi abhavaha. Now he's explaining very beautifully. Nahi abhavaha utpaladivat viseshana sahabhavi. Viseshanam means adjective. Attribute. Abhavaha nahi viseshana sahabhavi. Abhavaha non-existence is not endowed with attributes. It does not have attributes existing along with it. Non-existence does not have attributes existing with it. Like utpalam. Utpalam means a lily. Like lily, etc. Lily is a flower. Utpala adivate, such as flowers, lily, etc., have attributes. This abhavaha, non-existence, has no attributes. Viseshanavatve bhavahayevasyat. Suppose if non-existence has attributes, it cannot be non-existence. It must be existence only. If an attribute is there of something, it must have existence. Non-existence does not have attributes at all. It is simply the one relative non-existence is associated with the action, associated with the action pertaining to a given object, a form, name and function, or the attribute of a given form, name and function, and is mistaken to be, or simply imagined to be having attributes. And thereby it's also mistaken to be divided as four. Really speaking, non-existence cannot have attributes at all. Prak, pradvamsaha, anyonya, atyanta, all these attributes added to this non-existence is something imagination, expression of one's delusion, confusion. Okay. Now again, Purapakshi has made very clear. So the example is wrong. Definitely, moksha cannot be attained. Moksha cannot have a beginning. Moksha is timeless. Nityaha moksha. It cannot have a beginning. Karma phalam begins. Even if the result is, the phalam is of a unique result of combining the meditation with the practice of meditation, with the rituals, performance of ritual, still it has a beginning. Therefore, moksha can never be a result of meditation or ritual, result of an action. Now he comes back, Purapakshi comes back with a new suggestion. Tamho to requesting or begging that his view must be accepted. That is how he comes. Vidya karma kartuhu nityatvat. Vidya karma santana janita mokshasya nityatvam iti chet. Until chet, Purapakshi's view. Gangasro tavat. Now he says, Ganga srotavat means Ganga srotovat. See, srotas. Ganga yaha srotaha Ganga srotaha. Ganga srotas shabda. Okay. Ganga srotas means ஃப்ளோ ஆஃப் கங்கா. சி, கங்கா இஸ் ஒன் ரிவர், ஜீவநதி, விச் நேவர் ஸ்டாப்ஸ், கீப்ஸ் ஆன் ஃப்ளோயிங், கீப்ஸ் ஆன் ஃப்ளோயிங், கீப்ஸ் ஆன் ஃப்ளோயிங், கீப்ஸ் ஆன் ஃப்ளோயிங், நெவர் பிகம்ஸ் அப்ஸ்ட்ரக்டட். தட் இஸ் வை கங்கா இஸ் லுக்ட் அப்பான் ஆஸ் எ சிம்பிள், இஸ் எ சிம்பிள் ஆஃப் தி இட்டர்னல் ஃப்ளோ ஆஃப் வேதிக் விஸ்டம் த்ரூ தி அன்பிரோக்கன் லீனியேஜ் ஆஃப் டீச்சர்ஸ். கங்கா இஸ் such a holy river for us because it symbolizes our Veda Shastram, Vedic wisdom, which has been flowing downwards through the unbroken lineage of teachers like Ganga. That's why Ganga, but that Ganga he uses here differently. Look at this. Ganga srotovat, just as Ganga keeps on flowing continuously, okay, without being broken anywhere, even whatever is there, Ganga keeps on flowing. The flow of Ganga never gets obstructed. In the same way, he says, Purupakshi says, Mokshasyapi Nityatvam, Moksha also will be there continuously, constantly flowing. Mean moksha, there will be permanent moksha. But how? That is what the problem. Yes, moksha also, there will be continuous, there will be continuity of moksha permanently. If a person performs what? Rituals along with the practice of meditation continuously. வித்யா கர்ம சந்தான ஜனிதா மோக்ஷா. தி மோக்ஷா born as a result of continuous, constant, continuous performance of ritual along with the practice of meditation will be there continuously, like the continuous flow of Ganga. So the moksha will never stop. Moksha will be there continuously. Which moksha? Moksha jata, janitaha. Moksha born of the result. Born as a result of the constant continuous performance of rituals along with the practice of meditation. Vidya karma santana janitaha mokshaha. Will be like what? Ganga srotovati. So, vidya karma santana janita mokshasya nityatvam. Come on. Mokshaha is nityaha. But now, this moksha will be nityaha. Which moksha? Moksha which is born as a result of the performance of ritual along with the practice of meditation. But which is not stopped. Santanam is what? Constant, continuous, consistent performance of ritual along the practice of meditation will produce a moksha which will be there permanently, eternally. What is the same thing Purupakshi is saying? Only thing he says, without stopping, non-stop, karma must be performed. Meditation must be practiced. We keep on doing. Moksha also will be there permanently as a result of this karma and upasanam. So what does he want to say? Jnanam is not required. Upanishad need not be studied. But Shankaracharya now has to make him understand. Upanishad has to be studied. Jnanam is the only means of moksha. Before entering, you must be convinced that you must study Upanishad. Therefore, now this is his view. Vidya karma santana janitaha mokshaha. Before he said vidya karma janitaha mokshaha. Vidya sahita karmanaha janitaha moksha. Now he says vidya karma santana janitaha mokshaha. Santana means perpetuation. continuous performance of ritual along with the practice of meditation, okay, without any obstruction, will give a result of moksha, which will be continuously there, permanently, eternally. Why? Because vidya karma kartuhu nityatvat. Is vidya karma karta. Karma karta is what? The person who, the doer, the performer of action, the performer of ritual, the person who practices meditation along with the performance of ritual, enjoys the status of being eternal. Kartrutva. Kartuhu nityatvat. As the karta, the performer of ritual, the doer of ritual, is timeless, is, has this, has, can be continuously karta. He is there as the, is there as the one having eternity. Kartuhu nityatvat. As the karta has the status of being eternal, which karta? The doer of ritual and one who practices meditation along with it. That karta is eternal. Therefore, he can continue to remain in performance of ritual and practice of meditation. Therefore, the result, moksha, born of the continuous performance of ritual and practice of meditation also, can be there permanently, eternally. Like the continuous, constant, unbroken flow of Ganga, moksha also will be there. Shankaracharya says, no, na. Got it? Are you following? Na. Kartrutvasya dukkha swarupatvat. He says, there is no permanent moksha in action. Permanent moksha is one's own nature, which has been discovered. In knowing, in discovering, one can take ownership of permanent moksha. By doing something, moksha is not attainable. Again, while doing, there's always pain is involved. Grief is involved, suffering is involved, struggle is involved. Kartrutvasya dukkha rupatvat. See, whenever, whoever is involved in any action, the involvement in action itself, even however enjoyable the work is, still that enjoyability of action, while doing the action, struggling also, is possible because of the thought of the future benefit the person is going to enjoy. Isn't it? What I'm going to enjoy. Sometimes our parents tell children, we work very hard, struggle so hard to educate these children. No way. They know, they want to have the joy of seeing their children well settled in life. See, parents who work hard to raise children and to educate children and look after children, they always have what they see. They work hard to have the pleasure, to have the joy of seeing their children well settled. Isn't it? Therefore, when you are doing, not that you are doing it with all comfortably. Therefore, kartrutvasya dukkha rupat, dukkha rupatvat, dukkha swarupatvat. See, the having the doer status, having the doer status always is of the nature of, always involves the pain, struggle. Therefore, kartrutva uparamecha moksha vichedat. While doing the karma, there's always struggle, strain, hardship, pain is involved. When a person stops the karma, kartrutva uparame, when the status of being the doer is withdrawn, in withdrawing, in giving up the doer status, in the sense, in giving up the action, what happens? Moksha vichedaha. Moksha vichedat. The moksha also, there'll be snapping of the moksha. There'll be cutting off the moksha. Moksha will become snapped, will become cleared if kartrutvam also given up. I mean, a person stops doing things. Understand? The person stops doing things, moksha will get snapped. Moksha will get dropped. Moksha also will become cleaved. Moksha will stop. Moksha will come to an end. Which means one must continuously doing to have such moksha. Again, in doing, there's no sukham. Definitely there is dukkham involved. So what is the meaning? Finally, what he wants to say, Shankaracharya? Tasmat avidyadi karma upadana hetu nivruttau swatmani avasthanam mokshaha iti. He finished now. Adishankara Bhagavatpada refuted the views of a Purvimamsaka. Okay, now what he says? Swatmani avasthanam mokshaha. Abidance in one's own self is freedom. Abidance in one's own self means just being yourself. Just remaining as one's own self is mokshaha. So moksha is not at all attained. If you are just yourself, you are free. Then there is freedom. So, swatmani avasthanam mokshaha. Just being yourself. Just remaining as one's own self is abundance in one's own self, which is mokshaha. And in order to remain one's own self, remain as one's own self, to abide in one's own self, to enjoy that freedom, what should one do? You need not do anything. He says, nivruttau, when there is resolution. Nivruttau means nivruttihi, means resolution. When there is resolution of what? Resolution of avidyadi karma upadana hetuhu. Avidyadi karma upadana hetu nivruttau swatmani avasthanam. For anyone, just to be oneself, one need not do anything. All that one needs to do is correct the error in perception of oneself. Perspective change has to happen. If perspective change happens, you can just remain just yourself. For perspective change to happen, what should happen here? Resolution of ignorance of one's own self. Avidyani vruttihi. Once ignorance becomes resolved, karma upadana hetu nivruttihi. Avidya, adi, etc. Ignorance, etc. means what? Karma upadana hetu. Karma upadana hetu means that because of which a person is given to the pursuit of action is desire, isn't it? When there is resolution of ignorance happens, along with the resolution of ignorance, ignorance caused desire also. There be resolution of ignorance caused desire. Then there is resolution of ignorance caused desire. The desire, which is the cause for being given to the pursuit of action, that also when desire also resolves, perspective also changes, then there is a person effort selflessly remain as one's own self. My God, it's just claiming, taking ownership of your own nature is attainment of moksha. You are not attaining really. Just being yourself is moksha, is free, being free. Being yourself is being free. And being yourself is possible when errant perception is corrected, perspective change happens, for which the resolution of ignorance must happen. Avidyadi nivruttau. Ignorance is resolved along with the ignorance. Ignorance caused desire, which is the cause of action, also resolves. Then a person can abandon one's own self. Then self-abidance is possible, which is moksha. Very beautiful, isn't it? Tasmat avidyadi karma upadana hetu nivruttau. Come on, how many times to say, don't bring action, don't bring ritual, don't bring meditation here. They're all very important only to prepare your mind for you to become mentally calm, pure and steady. You have to perform karma. The karma kanda, in karma kanda, accepting your perception of duality, Shruti Mata prescribes rituals just to keep you entertained, engaged for some time to help you grow. But the question of moksha comes. Moksha is timeless, which is your swarupam. Being free is your nature. Being happy is your nature. Happiness is your swarupam. Being full, being complete is your swarupam. Completeness, fullness, happiness, limitlessness, freedom is the nature of reality. And you are essentially the reality. You are already free. Just being yourself. Abundance in one's own self is freedom. For which all that needs to happen is ignorance must be resolved. Avidyayaha nivruttihi evasyat. Ignorance must be resolved. Along with the ignorance, ignorance caused desire and resolves. And desire-impelled action also resolves. The desire, which is the cause for being given to the pursuit of action, when the desire resolves as a result of ignorance, resolution of the ignorance, then effortlessly one can abide in one's own self. And this abidance in one's own self is moksha. Is it clear? Avidyadi. Adi Shabda stands for what? Adhyasaha, Adhyaropaha, Ahankaraha, etc. Understand? I don't want to do it again. You will be very tired of listening to me. Avidya, Adhyasaha, Adhyaropaha, Ahankaraha. All are meant by the word Adi Shabda. Avidyadi karma upadana hetuhu. Karma upadana hetuhu is desire. Hetu means cause. Cause because of which a person is given to the pursuit of action is desire. Karma upadana hetuhu also resolves when the ignorance resolves. Is it clear now? So avidyadi karma upadana hetu nivruttau. When there is resolution of ignorance along with the resolution of desire caused by ignorance, the desire which is the cause of karma resolves, there happens abidance in one's own self, which is freedom. Okay. Now, what is Vatmani Avasthanam? Here is explained here in the following sentence. So all that you need is jnanam. So, oh, I must know. I must know. Now, this understanding the necessity, importance of attainment of knowledge. Knowledge is the only means of discovering freedom. Knowledge itself is freedom. Ignorance is bondage. Therefore, knowledge is the only means upon a person discovers, okay? So the whole discussion is not to simply refute Puri Mamasaka, is to make Vedanta student to become more, okay, much more firm in his commitment to the pursuit of jnanam. So the jignyasuhu, a simple mumukshuhu, should convert himself into a jignyasuhu. Anybody is mumukshu. Everybody wants happiness. But mumukshu, all are mumukshus. But mumukshus do not become, mumukshus become chikirshus, chikirshavaha. A mumukshuhu should not become a chikirshuhu. Mumukshuhu should become a jignyasuhu. The whole teaching is to make a mumukshu, to convert a mumukshu into a jignyasuhu from being a mere chikirshuhu. The person who is desirous of moksha is simply interested, inclined only to do something, do something, do something. Pujya Swamiji used to say this, no? Why all these organizations attract big crowds? Because they can go and do something. They come to Arshavidya Gurukulam, they have to sit and study. That's why number, you know, Vedanta course, 80 people, 100 people. Any other program, millions of people gather. The difference is study. Because people are chikirshavaha. People are naturally, effortlessly, or desirous of doing something or the other. Chikirshavaha. They are mukshavaha. People go to different places in search of happiness only, peace only. People are mukshavaha. People are aspiring for moksha. They're desirous of accomplishing moksha, freedom, happiness. But they're all like purimamsakas, chikirshavaha. Do this, do this, do this. No. Shastram says a convert a mukshuhu from being a mere chikirshuhu into a jignyasuhu. Therefore, the whole teaching was given here. So the whole dukkham, all sorrow, all suffering is purely because of the wrong notion. But that notion has to be corrected. Ahankara has to be resolved. Or jnanam is the only means. Okay. Now, what is swatmani avasthanam? What does it mean by saying just being one's own self? Remaining as one's own self. Or what does it mean by saying abidance in one's own self? He says, Swayancha Atma Brahma. This Brahma, this absolute reality which is of the nature of limitlessness, fullness, completeness, infinitude is Atma, the self. Self is what? The all-pervasive reality obtaining as the content of I, innermost self, is already Brahma. Atma Brahma. Atma is Brahma. Swayam cha Atma Brahma. Therefore, Brahma Swarupam is Atma Swarupam. Limitlessness, fullness, infinitude is the nature of the Atma. So which cannot be attained, which has to be discovered, which has to be claimed. Swayam cha Atma Brahma tad vijnanat tasya vijnanat. Atma itself, one's own self, is this reality which is of the nature of infinitude, limitlessness. Therefore, tasya vijnanat tad vijnanat. as a result of discovering that Brahman, the absolute reality, obtaining as one's own self, tadvijnanate, tasya vijnanate, as a result of discovering, knowing that reality, obtaining as one's own self, avidyanivrittihi, resolution of ignorance. Resolution of ignorance is possible only by discovering that reality, Brahma, obtaining as one's own self. Tadvijnanate avidyanivrittihi, jnanena ajnana nivrittihi. How are we going to resolve the ignorance without jnanam? Jnanam rises, means ignorance resolves along with the ignorance. Ignorance caused all problems resolve. Then what is there is only moksha. Ataha, therefore, Brahma Vidyartha Upanishad Arabhyate. Atlas has brought us to that point now. Ataha, therefore, Upanishad Arabhyate. Therefore, Upanishad teaching is begun now. For what? Brahma Vidyartha. For the purpose of knowing Brahma. Brahma Vidyartha. Brahma Brahmanaha Vidyayaha Artha. Vidyaya Brahma Vidyartha. For the purpose of knowing Brahman, for the purpose of discovering, arriving at, understanding the absolute reality, obtaining as one's own self, Upanishad Arabhyate, Upanishad teaching is begun. Which means Upanishad teaching itself is meant for discovering the absolute reality, Brahma, obtaining as the nearest self, obtaining as the very truth of I, one's own self. In discovering that, ignorance will resolve. When ignorance resolves, ignorance caused samsara resolves. Then moksha is already there as one's own surupam. This is what is said to be abidance in oneself. That is, Swamiji used to say, there's no greater miracle than discovering yourself. Okay, now we're going to understand the meaning of the word Upanishad here. Upanishad iti vidya uchyate. Upanishad iti vidya uchyate. Knowledge of the reality alone is said to be Upanishad. Upanishad is equal to knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the absolute reality. Upanishad is equal to Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya is equal to Upanishad. So Brahma Vidya alone is said to be Upanishad. Okay. Tachilinam Garbha Janma Jara Adi Nishatanat Tad Avasanadva Brahmanahava Upanigamayitrutvat. Upanishad iti vidya uchyate. It's a beautiful explanation why Upanishad is said to be knowledge. Kimartam Upanishad vidya iti uchyate. Kimartam Upanishad vidya iti uchyate. Why Upanishad is said to be vidya, knowledge of absolute reality? Because it's a functional name. Upanishad means Brahma Vidya. And Brahma Vidya is meant by the word Upanishad because Upanishad is a functional name. What does Brahma Vidya do? Okay. Here, the word Upanishad, if we take it, it consists of three components. Upa, Ni, and that Shat should be actually Sat. Upa, Ni, Sat. The Shat, later it becomes Shat. Upa, Ni, Sat. The Sat actually is a word derived from the root Sad. Sad is the root. Dhatuhu. Upa is one prefix. Ni is another prefix. And the Sad is the, soft consonant. Sad. Dakara. Sad is the Dhatuhu. And the Sad Dhatuhu, the root itself becomes a word. The root itself becomes a noun. Okay? Root itself becomes a noun. How? There's an affix called a quip affix. I don't want to make it a grammar class, but still understand there's one specific affix called quip affix. When the root takes the quip affix, affix is added, affix becomes dropped, the root continues to remain as a root, but the meaning, it is no more a root, it becomes a complete word. So, sad plus quip is equal to sad. Mind, before, sad is what now? Sad is now becomes a word, it's a noun. And this sad, the root itself has three different meanings. It denotes a three different meanings. Visharanam, Visharanam means wearing, tearing, okay? It means disintegrating. Visharanam is equal to disintegrating. Gatihi gamanam, visharanakriya, then gamanakriya, the act of going, taking, gamanam or gatihi, then avasadanam. Avasadanam means destroying, totally destroying, totally undoing, putting an end. So, Visharanam, Gamanam, Avasadanam. Visharanam, Gamanam, Avasadanam. Disintegrating, going, and destroying, dissolving, resolving. These are the meanings. Okay. Now, let's take the word first, Upa and Ni. Upa, Upa means near. Upa is a prefix which means near. This is the only authentic traditional meaning of the word Upanishad. Any other meaning given, simply presented. What is the meaning of the Upanishad? This is the meaning. Upa means near. This prefix meaning near Upa stands for the reality, absolute reality obtaining as the nearest self. Upa stands for the reality obtaining as the nearest self, as the very content of I. Aparoksha vastu. Aparoksha vastu. Upa stands for the reality which is not an object, which is the swarupam of the subject, which is the nearest self, the content of I. Okay. Upa stands for the nearest self, the reality obtaining as the nearest self. Ni stands for nischayarthakaha. Nischayarthakaha means nischaya jnanam. Ni stands for nischaya jnanam. Firm, doubt-free, clear, ascertained knowledge. The ni one prefix stands for ascertained, doubt-free, clear knowledge. So, upa and ni together, upani means, upani implies doubt-free, ascertained, clear knowledge of the reality obtaining as the nearest self. Upani itself means Brahma Vidya. Knowledge of the reality, knowledge of the self, nearest self. This knowledge of the reality obtaining as the nearest self does three functions. He is involved in three functions. What are three functions? Disintegration of ignorance. And ignorance caused samsara. Disintegration of ignorance, and ignorance caused samsara. Visharati, visharanam, then gamanam. What does this knowledge do? This knowledge of the nearest self takes one near Brahma. Brahma gamayitrutvat. It is the one by one. This explanation is given. Brahma Vidya. Avasadayati. Avasadayati. It destroys. It disintegrates. It breaks into pieces, then totally destroys it. Destroys what? Destroys ignorance. Ignorance caused to samsara. Samsara involving what? Look at this. Garbha. Involving residing in the womb. Then being born. Janma, birth. After being born, going through life of pairs of opposites. Then jara, becoming subject to old age. Adi, etc. Nishatanat. Nishatanam also means destroying, disintegrating, breaking into pieces, undoing. Nishatanat. Visharanath, Nishatanath. So, this knowledge of the reality obtaining as one's own self causes what? The destruction of having to reside in the womb of a mother, then having to have a birth, then having to go through the paths of opposites, birth, the death, then becoming subject to old age, jara, adi, etc. Nishatanat, visharanat, because of the destruction of all these problems, fraught, okay, samsara fraught with these problems. Tad avasadanat, completely putting an end to all those problems. Avasadanat. Nishatanat, visharanat, avasadanat almost mean the same. Va or another meaning. பிரம்மணகாவா உபனிகமயித்ருத்வாத். உபனிகமயித்ருத்வாத் திஸ் பிரம்ம வித்யா இஸ் அ கமயித்ரு. கமயித்ரு மீன்ஸ் வாட்? தட் விச் மேக்ஸ் யூ ரீச். கமயதி பிரம்ம வித்யா கமயதி இது கமயித்ரு. கமயித்ரு கமயித்ரி இஸ் பிரம்ம வித்யா. பிரம்ம வித்யா கமயித்ரி ஸ்திலிங்க சப்த ஈ காராந்த ஸ்திலிங்க கமயித்ரி சப்த. நோ ஆக்சுவலி கமயித்ரு ரிகாராந்த புல்லிங்க சப்த ஆல்சோ நியூ டு ஜெண்டர் வேர்ட் வி கேன் சே கமயித்ரு. திஸ் பிரம்ம வித்யா என்ஜாய்ஸ் தி ஸ்டேட்டஸ் ஆஃப் மேக்கிங் a person reach attain brahma, go near brahma. Upanayati upagamaya upa ni gamayati gamayitrutvat. This brahma vidya knowledge of self knowledge takes one near brahma. It makes you reach Brahma, attain Brahma. What is the distance between you and Brahma? There is no distance. There is no time distance between you and absolute reality. There is neither spatial distance between you and absolute reality. There is no distance at all. How can Brahma Vidya take you near Brahma when there is no distance? You can never take wave near the water. We can never take the wave near the water. Come on, come on. Let me take you near the water. No, we can never take the wave near the water. Because wave is always water. Similarly, you are always Brahma. One can need not be, cannot be taken near Brahma. But this Brahma Vidya, this knowledge of reality obtaining as one's own self takes one near the absolute reality. Upani gamayati, upani gamayitrutvam, it has a status of taking one near Brahma, which means there's no real distance, time distance or spatial distance, but ignorance causes the distance. As though you are far away from Brahma, as though you are far away from moksha, because of ignorance. Ignorance distances one from Brahma. Ignorance distances one from moksha. Ignorance does not really distance, as though ignorance has distanced you from just being yourself. Therefore, the distance caused by ignorance is resolved by knowledge. Brahma Vidya removes the distance caused by ignorance. Therefore, as though Brahma Vidya takes you near Brahma. Therefore, Brahma upanigamayitrutvat brahmanaha. Brahmanaha upanigamayitrutvat. Definitely, this knowledge of self removes the distance between the reality of the universe and one's own self. Thereby, it takes one near Brahma as it were. Okay? So, Brahmanaha upanigamayitrutvat upanishaditi uchyate garbha janma jaradi nishatanat தது அவசாதனாத் உபனிஷத் பிரம்ம வித்யா உபனிஷத் இது உச்சியதே. வை நாலெட்ஜ் ஆஃப் ரியாலிட்டி இஸ் செட் டு பி பிரம்ம வித்யா உபனிஷத். வை பிரம்ம வித்யா செட் டு உபனிஷத்? பிகாஸ் திஸ் த்ரீ ரீசன்ஸ். உபனி இட்செல்ஃப் மீன்ஸ் ascertained clear knowledge of the reality, obtaining as the nearest self. And this knowledge, clear doubt-free knowledge, is involved in three functions. It's a functional name, I said. It removes, it destroys the some ignorance, and ignorance caused samsara in terms of remaining in the womb of a mother, being subject to birth and subject to old age, etc. Then, or you can say it puts an end to the samsara problems, and it takes one's own self near Brahman as it were, by resolving the distance caused by ignorance. Brahmanahava upanigamayitrutvad Upanishad vidya iti uchyate. Very nice. So, by resolving the distance caused by ignorance, taking one's own self to the absolute reality, Brahma, as it were, is the positive meaning. What's the negative meaning? This knowledge definitely resolves ignorance and ignorance. I prefer the word resolves ignorance, and ignorance caused all samsara problems, some problems of samsara. Therefore, it is said to be Upanishad. Brahma Vidya is said to be Upanishad. Now, finally, one more meaning is given. Okay, now you know, understand the traditional actual meaning of the word Upanishad, we all understood very clearly. Isn't it? But one more meaning is given here. Upanishannam va asyam param shreyaha iti nishannam. Nishannam means that which is placed, kept, located. Nishannam. Nishannam is equal to nihitam. What is kept, placed, located, hidden? Param shreyaha. Param shreyaha. The absolute good, the ultimate good in terms of absolute goal, mokshaha. Param shreyaha, the absolute good in terms of mokshaha, or otherwise called mokshaha, asyam upanishannam. Asyam brahmavidyayam. Asyam upanishadi. Asyam brahmavidyayam. Param shayaha upanishannam. The ultimate goal, moksha, is placed, kept, hidden in this knowledge. Therefore, this knowledge is said to be Upanishad. Param shayaha asyam brahmavidyayam upanishannam iti karanataha. Brahma vidya Upanishad shabdena uchyate. Upanishad iti uchyate. Upanishannam va asyam param shreyaha iti. In this Brahma vidya alone, absolute mokshaha is kept hidden. So treasure hunt must be made only through knowledge, not through karma. Tad arthatvat grantaha api upanishat. No, grantaha api upanishat. So the primary meaning of the word Upanishad is equal to Brahmavidya. Now the Jaffe reality, the traditional meaning you understood, and another general meaning also you understood. But here, the secondary meaning of the Upanishad is the textbook. The textbook consisting of mantras also is called Upanishad. Now, what is this book? Upanishad book, we say. This book consisting of mantras, words also is said to be Upanishad. Why? Because the secondary meaning. The text is also known as Upanishad, as it serves as a means of knowledge of Brahman. The text consisting of words serve as means of knowledge of Brahman. Therefore, the text is also known as Upanishad. Actually, Upanishad means Brahma Vidya. Because Brahma Vidya does three things. It removes ignorance. It resolves ignorance. It resolves ignorance caused to problems. And it takes the jnani towards Brahma. Jnani means what? It takes the self near Brahma. Means resolving the distance caused by ignorance. It helps one claim, take ownership of reality as one's own self. Thereby it helps one claim moksha as one's own self, one's own surupam. That's what is called Brahma Vidya. Is it clear? Okay. Tad arthatvat grantaha api upanishad. Grantaha, the textbook also is known as Upanishad. Secondarily, because it serves as a means of knowledge of Brahma Vidya, knowledge of Brahman. Upanishaditi Vidya Uchyate Na Tachilinam. One word I had to explain. Tachilinam. Okay. Tat Shilam. Shilam Yasya. Shilam Yesham Te Shilinaha. Shilam means virtue. Shilam means virtue. Shili means virtuous. One who has the virtue is Shili. And here Shilam is, virtue is the discipline itself. Tat Shilinam means people who have the virtue of being given to the discipline of the pursuit of knowledge. They are Shilinaha. People who are of the virtue of being given to the discipline of the pursuit of knowledge are Shilinaha. For those people, Tat Shilinam. Okay, for those people, only for those people, Brahma Vidya works. It's not for anybody. Oh, Upanigamayati, Brahmanaha Upanigamayati. It takes one near Brahma. It removes, it resolves ignorance. And ignorance caused samsara. Samsara fraught with these problems. For whom? Only for those who are of the virtue of being given to the discipline of the pursuit of jnanam. For them, definitely, this Brahma Vidya Upani, meant by the two prefix Upani, resolves ignorance. It is called samsara in the form of having to be in the womb, having to be born, being subject to old age, etc. Got it? Okay. With this, our Sambandha Bhashyam is over. I will send you a small note. Okay, like last time I sent notes, so it'd be very helpful for you. Just remember. So I'm going to stop now. So next class, we will straight away start the Upanishad study. Again, we have Bhashyam. Of course, we are going to throw complete Bhashyam only. Takes time. At the same time, we will also be learning to chant Taittiriya Upanishad. Every day we will spend definitely 5 to 10 minutes for chanting. The rest of the class will be for unfoldment of the mantras, unfoldment of the commentary. Adishankar Bhagavatpada's commentary. Is it clear? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Again, when I did the Bhashyam here, I broke the sandhis, I split, and then I was reading. But it's nice to learn to read properly for Bhashya Parayanam, Bhashya reading. It's also one of the ways of memorizing Bhashyams also to remember. That also we'll do sometime. Okay.